Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you all here today. Rumor has it Jane might join you next week, although because I said it out loud, I probably jinxed it. Anyway, the Silk or Joe Show comes to you courtesy of the Main Street Radio Network, so we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist. And, well, you know what? Actually, I should point out this is the first live show that we've done since CPAC, because I've just racked up a whole ton of interviews at that event, and there will be one such interview at the tail end of this show, so watch out for that. That will not be live, but everything else will be coming to you fresh, much fresher at least than February 23rd. Anyway, back to thanking the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist. I do want to point you to their website, mainstreetradionetwork.com, and up there you can find podcasts for this show, previous editions of this show, just what you need in order to catch up on anything you missed, such as if you missed the last 2 or 3 weeks worth of shows that were just entirely recorded at in the same 2-day span. Anyway, we also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show, and we do want to point out our sister show, The Alan Nathan Show, which I guest hosted earlier this week as well. It can be found at MainStreetRadioNetwork.com and AlanNathan.com. And of course, on social media, you have Main Street Radio Network on Facebook, on Twitter at Main Street Radio, on Wimkin, W-I-M-K-I-N at Main Street Radio Network. And the Silk or Joe Show was on Getter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show. All right. So at this point, I was about to go into the delivery of the show topics like I was hosting the Al Nathan Show. We don't do that on this program for some reason. Never have. Not in the entire, 10 and a half years that this program has been around, since November of 2013. We have not had topics on this show. We just go into the, well, pre-written topics, that is. Of course there's topics, except right now I'm rambling, but I do have something to get into right here, which is what I was trying to segue into, but reflexively the Alan Nathan Show persona kicked in, and I started using that verbiage when that was inappropriate. But, yeah, so at the same time Democrats, Moms Demand Action, Every Town, are trying to give guns to illegal immigrants and letting illegal immigrants with guns into the country, as I pointed out on the Alan Nathan Show earlier this week, we have a video at of NGOs, left-wing groups, at the border with armed cartel gunmen just walking on through without a care in the world. In fact, the NGO personnel are warning the hidden camera reporter about how there's some evil people who don't want the cartel members to get in with their guns, and how they're trying to keep it hidden from the government and all that. So that's what's going on the left. They have no problem with that, but at the same time, again, that they're letting illegal immigrants with guns come into the country, and even trying to arm them by making them police officers and allowing them to take their firearms home with them, they are filing junk lawsuits to wage lawfare on anyone involved in making sure you can protect yourself. In Detroit right now, for example, there is a case where a stoned teen, either drunk or high, but stoned can mean both. At least it did back in the 60s. You know, you see that on episodes of Dragnet. So just for safety reasons, according to the official reports, it wasn't sure if these teenagers were drunk or on marijuana, so stoned can apply either case. But they put together a ghost gun and shot someone else that was underage. So naturally, instead of prosecuting for underage possession of alcohol, narcotics, and firearms, I mean, seriously, the ATF should have raided this kid's house at some point, liberals are just going after the gun. They're talking about how a kid with a credit card can basically buy a gun, and the mother is all in on this crap, because she doesn't want to face her failure as a parent, I suppose. But your kid is out drinking and got shot, so naturally you blame the gun and not the idiot that had it illegally, or the drugs or alcohol. Now, this wasn't like a gang thing, it was just two friends messing around with a firearm. And for those of you unaware how this could happen, basically there's this company that sells incomplete guns, best way to put it. Just with some extra milling and tooling, you can buy two different sets of items and put it together, you know, like a model kit or something, build your own gun. And that's why I guess they call it a ghost gun, because technically you don't need to register the parts. And it is very legal at the federal level. There is nothing wrong with this company selling these items as far as the law goes. Now, whether or not you think that this should be illegal, that's on you. But certainly this company didn't break any laws by selling these idiot kids a firearm, sort of. they didn't actually sell the firearm entirely, at least according to the legal definition. They sold parts to build one, they just didn't sell an actual one. And also, it's two separate kits. It's not like they're giving all the parts at the same time. So it's, you know, maybe it is a way of skirting the law of technicalities and all that, but again, it exists, it's legal, so there's nothing that that company actually did that was wrong. But, of course, the parents are, you know, the mother in this case, all in on suing the company anyway, and instead of taking responsibility, hey, my bad, and instead of the other kid's family taking responsibility, hey, our bad, our kid bought firearms, our 19-year-old or 17-year-old or whatever bought a firearm because we gave them a credit card and no supervision. And so, I mean, why would you, though, take responsibility? It's not profitable to moms demand action every town to solve the causes of gun violence. Federal law dictates this company did nothing wrong, again, like I said, yet they're being sued for legally doing things. But then federal law also dictates those kids very much did a lot wrong by getting stoned and shooting. Let's see, the law is broken. Illegal possession of a drug or alcohol. It was uncertain which one it was, according to official sources, mind you. So that's why it's both. But also illegal possession of a firearm if it was marijuana, illegal possession of a firearm because they're kids, and a conspiracy to commit a felony because they thought the stuff they bought the stuff to build a gun. So naturally, you blame the company that did everything by the book legally rather than the little felons. This is also why gun crime is so severe in Democrat-controlled territory. They blame guns, not criminals. Colorado recently demonstrated this. Colorado, ran by Democrats, mind you. There was a gun control bill that would have had stricter sentencing for illegally having a gun. Democrats opposed this gun control. Why? Well, they didn't want to blame people for having the gun, because it might put blacks in prison. Yep, that was their reasoning. They wanted illegal gun possession to be a crime, but have no punishment attached to it, because it might hurt the black community. So they struck down this gun control move. This strict gun control move that might have actually done something to get them off the streets. But that just means more people illegally possessing guns, because why not? If it means nothing in Colorado, it's a slap on the wrist, a misdemeanor, and yet they continue to blame the gun for the crime, not the criminal they allowed to keep the gun. It, you know, it's like in New York City, you have Alvin Bragg, district attorney. He thought, taking your gun, putting it in someone's face and saying, give me all your money or I'll blow your head off, that's just a misdemeanor. You know, never mind the trauma, PTSD you'll have if you survive the incident. But forget about you, how you feel about it. It's just a misdemeanor. Forget it. It's nothing. Probably won't even lose your right to have a gun. Probably, especially when they plea it down to a lower crime or whatever. Community service, maybe. Probably not even any bail attached to such a crime. According to District Attorney Alan Bragg, voted in by Democrats, himself a Democrat, so much so that he is one of the ones who are pursuing Trump, trying to persecute him. So, again, Democrats, they claim to be strict on gun control and want to reduce gun violence, but so far their only solutions have been just to remove guns off the street and actually make it less of a crime to use them in a criminal manner. And all in the name of helping the black community or something. We'll talk about the bigotry of low expectations. You defeat a bill that would curb gun violence because blacks are going to end up being hurt by it. Like, what does that say about your opinion of the black community if you want to stop your gun control bill because you think that they just can't handle not having firearms? It's ridiculous the extent that liberals will go with this sort of thing. Or is it? Maybe they're just using this, it'll hurt the black community as an excuse, because what they really want is gun confiscation, not curb to gun violence. And they're just using all these incidents of gun violence that they themselves are enabling with this soft-on-crime approach of theirs. Because, like, how do you expect to stop gun violence if you just let the people right back out on the street after they commit an act of gun violence, or they're caught illegally with a gun? If you illegally have a gun, unless you're in one of them states with supreme strict gun control, you know, like Illinois recently, where they had an assault weapons ban go into effect, and overnight a bunch of people illegally had guns. Like, aside from situations like that, most likely if you illegally purchase a gun, yeah, that's the best way to put it. If you illegally purchase a gun, you probably don't have any nice intent for that weapon. It's probably not just for self-defense. You probably intend to do something with it. That's not quite in line with the law. So they want people like that to walk free, no problem, keep doing what you're doing, but then they want to just take guns from law-abiding citizens, saying, oh, the goal here is to remove guns from the hands of, to reduce the amount of guns, that's what they said, reduce the amounts of guns out there that people can have access to, such as these criminals on the street illegally purchasing them. Well, guess what? Let's go back to what the opening of this monologue was about. Illegal immigrants with guns coming into this country with the help of left-wing anti-gun, probably anti-gun personnel. Because, you know, let's face it, most people on the left are anti-gun, therefore we can assume that the people helping these illegal immigrant cartel members with guns into the country were themselves anti-gun, at least for American citizens. So, on the one hand, the left is smuggling guns into the country. On the other hand, they're trying to ban you from having guns. In the name of fighting guns being possessed by people illegally. It's, none of it makes sense. More Silker Joshua after this break.
Wine Country by rising country star Hannah Ellis. After 10 years of carving out her own space in Music City, the Kentucky native now introduces her debut album, That Girl, available now. Named by Rolling Stone Country as an artist to watch and a CMT Listen Up artist, Hannah Ellis has appeared on the Grand Ole Opry several times and toured with stars such as Billy Currington, Gavin DeGraw, and Carly Pierce. That Girl reveals a seasoned songwriter embracing her small-town roots, her real-life romance, and her relatable artistic voice. Hannah Ellis told us about the inspiration for the new album.
The heart of country music is storytelling. Life itself is the inspiration behind this record. Whether it's my sister's breakup, my insecurities, or falling in love, I'm just living my life with a pen and a microphone.
That Girl is now available wherever you get music. For more, visit HannahEllisMusic.com.
From debut author Carolina Ixta comes an unforgettable new young adult novel, Shut Up, This Is Serious, tells the story of two Latina girls growing up in East Oakland, who face a world full of messy complexities as they try to navigate their high school years. Belen wants the normal teen stuff, to hang out with friends, experience love, or maybe even have a boyfriend. But nothing is normal in her East Oakland community. Her father left her family. She's at risk of not graduating. And Letty, her religious best friend, is pregnant by the boyfriend she hasn't told her parents about, weighed by a depression she can't seem to shake. Belen sees her other classmates getting ready for college. But what future is there for girls like her? Author Carolina Ixta.
Shut Up, This Is Serious deals with topics such as racism, generational trauma, and teen pregnancies, though it's also about the fierce and intimate uplifting power of friendship and chosen family.
Shut Up, This Is Serious is now available wherever books are sold.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve. It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all here this week. And we are joined now by Robert Romano. He is Vice President of Public Policy at Americans for Limited Government. Robert, always happy having the show. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
All right, so you have a piece out on DailyTorch.com. It's titled, Is Congress Expanding the Censorship Regime? Not Defunding Censorship at Justice, Defense, State, and Homeland Security, while banning foreign adversary-controlled applications. Now, I did talk a little bit about some of that. I guess that's the TikTok ban that you're referring to. I talked about that on the Alan Nathan Show. But what about the rest of this?
Well, in the original appropriations bills that were either offered by the House or were passing the House, including defense, Homeland Security, the Department of State, those that passed House, but also in the Commerce, Science, Justice, that didn't get to the floor fully, and so hadn't been passed. It hadn't been rejected either. But they all had defunds or prohibitions on the uses of funds against misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation activities by these agencies, which in practice meant that they were forwarding disinformation concerns to social media to be so that the American people who were expressing wrongthink could have their opinions throttled or deleted or even have their accounts suspended on social media. This has been going on for years. Going back to 2018, this was legislation in the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency that had passed unanimously. Unfortunately, all of these defunds that were in the House bills have been stripped out of the omnibus legislation. The omnibus bills have split in two. So the only of the ones I mentioned that have come up so far was Commerce, Science, Justice, and the defund there for against the censorship has been stripped away, and I think there's very little hope that the defunds for Homeland Security, State, and Defense that had been included in House legislation will be included in the next omnibus bill that comes up because Democrats won't agree to it.
Hmm. You know, it just raised an interesting question in my mind here about why the Biden administration might be so zealous in persecuting TikTok here and trying to get them transferred to an American company. Maybe that's because if they're beholden to the Chinese Communist Party, they don't necessarily have to censor when the Biden administration asks them to censor something. So they're trying to get it more easily to make it more easy for them to censor content on TikTok.
You said it, not me.
Right.
But that occurred to me as well. There is an element here of control. Just looking at it, if this was just about TikTok, looking at that legislation, the bill would simply address that one application. But instead, it creates broader authority for the president to identify applications that he says are controlled by foreign adversaries. It's an authority given to the president that he deems to be a national security threat. And given Biden's proclivity to accuse his political opponents of being Russian agents, yeah, I think we can all easily see how that might be abused. Trump's positions against U.S. intervention in Ukraine was the subject of the FISA warrant against the Trump campaign in 2016. It repeatedly cited statements by Trump where he was opposing U.S. involvement in Ukraine. So Rumble, which allows for X, which allows for commentary that is critical of U.S. involvement in Ukraine, could they be deemed to be controlled by a foreign adversary? Well, according to the legislation, if the president says so.
But then you have Republicans apparently voting for this legislation too, just passed the House the other day. So are they aware that it's in there, or do they just not see the threat inherent in that because, we're dealing with a bunch of geriatrics who have no idea what a social media is?
I think that they have either amnesia. They've never fully accounted for themselves unanimously with a Republican Congress in the House and the Senate putting the CISA legislation out there in the first place. Nobody opposed it. Nobody spoke up against it. Now, to be fair, it was done in the middle of the night. and the lame duck Congress, the Paul Ryan House and the Mitch McConnell Senate in 2018. So they might not have been aware that it was being brought forward. But they've also never said, oh, gee, we shouldn't have done that afterwards. And then when it comes to defense, now, I think if they were acting in good faith, they would have said, hey, we'll move this TikTok stuff. But, you know, we need these defunds to assure the American people that they're not going to be censored. Instead, they've stripped out the defunds against CISA and the FBI and the Department of Defense and State Department, and then are moving ahead to create a broader authority to now shut down websites, applications that the president says will be foreign adversary-controlled applications. Now, they narrowly limit that to Iran, North Korea, Russia, and China. But again, we've been dealing with this for almost a decade where Trump and his campaign and everything that he supports is deemed to be Russian-controlled, Russian agents, et cetera. This power had been in place in 2016, and, you know, I suppose Obama could, you know, or if it had been in place in 2020 and 2021, I think it would have been used against Parler. It turns out they didn't need to use it against Parler because Amazon was going to, via proxy, shut down their servers, and Apple was going to shut them down, and Google was going to shut them down. Whether that was at the behest of DHS and FBI probably remains to be seen, but it's hard to see how it might not have been. I mean, I'm certain it would have been alerting Parler or Google or Apple or Amazon that there was a kind of pro-Trump, questioning the outcome of the 2020 election on Parler. So could it be used against Rumble now? Could it be used against Truth Social if they are deemed to be controlled by the Russians, just as the argument has been for going on 9 years now?
Yeah, and, you know, actually with Trump owning Truth Social, it could be Russia or China now that Trump has come out against the TikTok ban. So
to oppose the TikTok ban, that must mean you're a Chinese agent. Sounds like something the Chinese agent would say. Trump put a huge tariff on China. I think he wants to increase the huge tariffs on China. But he must be pro-China because he doesn't think that this broad authority, won't be abused.
Right. And, you know, I also find it interesting that the foreign adversaries they name are the ones that they like to go around accuse – are the prominent ones they just go around accusing everyone being an agent of, you know, whether that's Republicans
standard
accusing –
practice. I think in Washington in general, you can go back to the Alien Sedition Act. We have a long, rich tradition of accusing our political opponents of being foreign agents. This is almost a standard feature in American elections going back more than 200 years. Unfortunately, but that I think that's reality. And so, you know, whatever, the Biden is controlled by the Chinese, Trump is controlled by the Russians. It's like we haven't had a freely elected president ever, if we're going to go by these metrics. But a lot of it might be absurd. It might be paranoia, and it might be dangerous to apply it to public policy and to apply it to laws. And then to use it to say we're going to control social media, but that's exactly what's happened.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and they just seem addicted to the censorship regimen that they have in place, and what all they're doing is expanding it. Ironically, while talking about banning TikTok for being part of the Chinese regime, well, what's one of the things we have opposed to for China? Censorship. Now we're doing it.
I don't know. Maybe we invented it.
All right. Well, Robert Romano, thank you for being on the Silker Joe Show. And again, he's Vice President of Public Policy at Americans for Limited Government. And you can find his piece on Daily Torch. It is titled, Is Congress Expanding the Censorship Regime? Not Defunding Censorship at Justice, Defense, State, and Homeland Security While Banning Foreign Adversary-Controlled Applications. More Silker Joe Show after this break.
I'm Marissa Brainy with some party hosting tips for your game day watch party in partnership with Target, my favorite one-stop shop. This year, Target's pulled together three game day spreads for under $25, a cheeseburger taco board, fun twist on a traditional, a wing basket, gotta have those wings, and a nacho bar. Love these for great finger food options that won't break the bank. If you're looking for snacks, Target's Good & Gather brand has you covered, from chips and popcorns to great dips. And in terms of drinks, you want some non-alcoholic versions as well, So think about varieties like Lagunitas, Athletic Brewing Co., and Good & Gather's Sparkling Water. The cherry cola flavor is a must. Don't forget Target offers same-day delivery and drive-up options, which make it really easy to stick to your list and your budget. Just head to Target.com or the Target app.
Hello, I'm Peter Castleman, and I'm the co-author of this book, Eat to Think. We come into this world with a beautiful brain. The most amazing part of that, about the brain, is it's designed to regenerate, not deteriorate. Yet, we're starting to eat foods that destroy our brains. The result is a crisis of cognition decline. 1 in 3 seniors are dying with some form of dementia. It does not have to be this way. We wrote this book, Eat to Think, because 97% of your brain health you control. And in this book is a roadmap to try to understand the brain and a path to how you improve your brain health. Go to eattothink.com, download a free version of the book, as well as other products that we can give you to help you start your journey to improve your brain health.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean, and there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
The March of Dimes and HCA Healthcare are committed to the best possible start for every baby. I'm Amy Casseri, Vice President of HCA Women and Children's Services, where we have the honor of delivering over 200,000 babies a year. We partner with the March of Dimes on research and fundraising to help build a brighter future for babies everywhere. So march with us on one of the many HCA teams assembled nationwide. Learn more at marchforbabies.org/HCA.
Welcome back to the Silk and Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe here with you all today. And you know, boy, I've had a lot percolating in my brain for the last couple of weeks, as you might imagine, while the CPAC interviews took precedence. But, you know, you get to meet people in person, shake their hands, talk to them, see them face to face. It's a pretty good experience to have instead of just doing things over the microphone, staring at text on your laptop as opposed to an actual in-person thing, so forgive me for succumbing to the thrill of human interaction. Anyway, though, some other issues that have cropped up over the past couple of weeks that I hadn't had a chance to discuss, though. For one thing, how much Democrats love illegal immigrants. I've talked about that on the Al and Nathan show, how when the murder of Laken Riley, she was absolutely brutalized and then killed by an illegal immigrant, and Democrats, Me Too movement, Believe All Women group, what did they do? They just got upset when Joe Biden referred to the killer as an illegal. They didn't care about that he also got the victim's name wrong. They just cared that he misidentified the illegal with the politically incorrect term illegal. That's it. That's all their concern was. And it's to the point where Joe Biden gets on national TV and apologizes to the illegal immigrant murderer for calling him an illegal. So that's where the Democrat Party stands on that. But it's not just in their rhetoric either. It's rather interesting, actually. These coincidences, I will call them, but I'm doing the air quotes over that word. The FBI, they announced an investigation into New York City Mayor Eric Adams after he indicated opposition to sanctuary cities in 2023. I've mentioned that before. But then at the end of February this year, Mayor Adams said he would reevaluate the sanctuary city policy. So again, he announced, and rather than just saying he's slightly opposed to it, at this point he says, I'm just going to reevaluate that thing. Then, as soon as he says that, just like 2 days later, the FBI raid the home of one of his staff members. What a coincidence. This is the same FBI that knows of terrorists crossing the border, is very obviously trying to silence a prominent Democrat opposed to the border crossings. Of course, the feds know Republicans are going to spout off about it, and the feds are already considering sending the military to attack. They war-gamed it at the end of February as well. But you can't have a key person on your own side like Adams go rogue, I suppose. And, you know, we've seen something like that as well with, like, in conceptually similar, where a black rapper who was asked to endorse Biden but refused was arrested at the Grammys for a misdemeanor. I don't know if you'd noticed that, but, yeah, he was on this radio, I forgot the guy's name, but he was on this radio show, and they asked him, or maybe a talk show, and they asked him if he would vote for Joe Biden and endorse Biden. He's like, I'm going to keep my options open. And then suddenly at the Grammys, he's arrested. Police show up right there at the event for a misdemeanor. You don't really, that doesn't really happen for misdemeanors. You don't get that show of force unless someone is trying to send you a message. Just like the FBI with Eric Adams. Eric Adams indicates he's opposed to sanctuary cities. Suddenly the FBI starts announces they're investigating him. He says he's going to start looking into revitalizing, but that's not the right word. He's about to reevaluate the sanctuary city policy. Well, now we're going to raid the home of one of his aides. That's how much Democrats are in to illegal immigration, to the point where they're using the FBI to target people on their side who are opposed to it, but also to the point where they apologize to an illegal immigrant for calling him an illegal. And I mentioned again in the opening segment how Democrat organizations are helping illegal immigrants with guns cross the border into this country. And now they're also in, as I mentioned on the Alan Nathan show earlier this week, in Illinois and Los Angeles, they're trying to turn illegal immigrants into police officers so that they can enforce, among other things, disarmament of citizens. Because Illinois and Los Angeles have very strong gun laws, extremely strong gun laws. People who live there probably have no idea how strong they actually are compared to the rest of the country. But for reference, in the state of Virginia, if I were to seek out a gun, I would just go to the store, fill out a background check, wait a little bit. When the background check clears, I have the gun. I just need money for that because they are expensive. But in California, for example, you need a lot more than that. There's a mandatory, probably a mandatory waiting period, I think there is, but also you need special permissions to get it. You need to pass certain classes that are not available. It can take over a year to actually obtain a firearm in California. And then in Illinois, they're trying to make it rather similar, and they've just banned entire classes of firearm, just like California. California's banned entire classes of firearms, too, that are perfectly legal to own in Virginia. So despite all that, despite these heavy bans, because in the name of safety, they're giving illegal immigrants guns. because, of course, you can background check an illegal immigrant better than an American citizen. I'm not sure I understand this reasoning here, this rationale that they have. Do they just naturally think illegal immigrants are morally superior to American citizens? I really shouldn't have asked that question, because you know the answer is yes. Just listen to the way they talk about American citizens. We're a bunch of lazy racists, according to Democrats. Invite all these foreign-born people in to replace us at the jobs that we don't take. These broad-minded people who represent diversity, you bigot, how dare you oppose their arrival? They're so open-minded, broad-minded. We see how that worked out, haven't we, with illegal immigrants raping and killing people. So, and also bringing guns in this country. In fact, there was an illegal immigrant who was responsible for a mass shooting last year, and maybe even earlier this year. I didn't check whether or not that the immigrant was legal or illegal, but we did have an immigrant mass shooting earlier this year, too. So, despite all of this, you know, one mass shooting from a white person, and suddenly white people are terrorists and can't be trusted with firearms, ban all of them. A couple of mass shootings by illegal immigrants? Eh, whatever. Nobody cares. In fact, we'll just give them guns. We'll make them police officers. That's the logic of the left. In fact, we'll apologize to them as well for referring to them as illegals, even when we know they've killed somebody. That is the method of the left here. And it really sounds fringe to those of you in conservative circles, I suppose. In fact, Democrats, some of them will try to claim that this is fringe too. But how can you say it's fringe when it's the law of the land, basically, in Los Angeles, in Illinois, when you have the President of the United States apologizing, partly because to an illegal immigrant murderer, mind you, partly because of media pressure, because the media was holding him to task for saying illegal. Didn't care that he, again, didn't care that he got the victim's name wrong. Who cares about women anymore? Unless, of course, they can use it against Republicans. Otherwise, who cares about women? Doesn't matter. You get a blank check for mayhem against women if you're an illegal immigrant. But, boy, if you call that illegal immigrant an illegal, then you'll be in for trouble. That's when people start caring. Not one Democrat said Laken Riley's name before her murder, but boy, they do know that not to call her opponent or her killer an illegal now, because that's the only time they actually started caring about the incident. How can you say that this is not mainstream at this point? How can you say that it's rare? It's not. It's all over the board, across the board with Democrats. They have become radicals. And, you know, they like to think that they have such things as centrist Democrats. I don't see that at all. Certainly not in the media or the presidency. I guess perhaps Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is considered a centrist Democrat at this point, because he doesn't take crap like this. But you see how that's working out for him with the part trying to run for Democrat. They aren't letting him run. He had a struggle to get his name on the ballots, and only in a couple of states. So he's not a real challenge to Joe Biden. And they try to say Joe Biden is a moderate as well. They keep trying to pass him off as a moderate. In fact, there's members of the radical left right now who voted uncommitted in various primaries. In fact, Joe Biden lost uncommitted in one race because, well, they didn't think that Joe Biden isn't radical enough. The guy who apologized to an illegal immigrant murderer is not considered radical enough, according to Democrat voters, statewide in some cases. What does that say about the state of their party, right? When statewide you lose because you're not radical enough, even though you do crazy things like apologize to an illegal immigrant murderer as the president. And not even meet with the family of the killer's victim. That's how insanely radicalized the left is these days. They're openly demonstrating this in their own party. I gotta wonder what's going to happen in the future, too, if they win this election, if they're allowed to cheat, or if voters are deluded enough to vote for him. Who knows what's going to happen in November? We're still 8 months away, and in fact, you know, we're not going to know for 9 months, probably, what actually happened on election day. So, that's the state of things now. We're just stuck in the dark on all these issues. But one other point that I can bring up, though, speaking of how radical Democrats are, is this poll that was reported by Breitbart. Rasmussen did this poll. 57% of Democrat voters would oppose Congress certifying the 2024 election if Trump wins. So they support arming illegal immigrants to enforce the laws against you, support arming illegal immigrants to take your guns away as a citizen. They support illegal immigrant murderers over their American citizen victims. Apparently, if you're a woman, it doesn't matter. The Me Too and Believe All Women crowd will abandon you. And now they support tyranny. They don't support elections unless they win. What do you call that except tyranny? I guess that's why they want to bring these illegal immigrants in as police officers, because they're just going to be loyal to the party that gives them the most. They're not going to be loyal to this country. And perfectly in line with this poll here showing what Democrats think about elections. More Silker Joshua after this break.
According to iStock's visual GPS research, over 75% of people globally are already using some form of AI technology in their day-to-day work. Grant Farhall, Chief Product Officer at iStock, says when using AI, it's all about creating meaningful connections with your audience.
Our own research shows that over 40% of small and mid-sized businesses are using AI-generated content for marketing purposes. Generative AI tools can help businesses create those important connections that drive long-term value if done correctly.
iStock by Getty Images has released a new tool, Generative AI by iStock, which allows businesses to safely turn their creative vision into powerful content.
Generative AI by iStock empowers you to create compelling visuals to engage your audience. You can explore using AI with confidence by creating images and then downloading them with a commercial license and iStock's standard legal indemnification.
For more, visit ai.istockphoto.com/ITT.
A charming new children's book about a young girl in Jamaica who loves fixing cars with her granddad arrives today. The Blue Pickup by Natasha Triplett is a heartwarming layered story featuring beautiful illustrations by Monica Mackay. The Blue Pickup tells the story of Jew Girl, whose favorite days are spent with her granddad in his garage, fixing cars and hearing stories about his old blue pickup. Granddad used to drive the blue pickup all over the island, bringing happiness to many, but now it just sits in the driveway. One day, Jew Girl asked granddad if he'd ever fix it, and he's unsure at first, but the pair soon finds out just what it takes to restore the memory of the blue pickup and to create new stories along the way. Author Natasha Triplett.
This book is about the joy of repairing things with our hands and preserving stories with our hearts. I hope it inspires young readers to find the right tools that allow them to take pride in hard work.
The new children's book, The Blue Pickup, is now available wherever books are sold.
Hi, I'm Catherine Judah Chilo. I have three wonderful children with my husband, Sean, who I met on the 17th season of The Bachelor. At just 5 months old, our son, Isaiah, became sick and spent 4 days in the hospital. At first, my husband and I thought he had a common cold, but it turned out to be much more serious. It was respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV. RSV is the number one reason why babies are hospitalized. I'm sharing my story so other parents can learn about the importance of helping protect their babies from RSV when they are most vulnerable to it. If you are pregnant or plan on becoming pregnant, speak to your OBGYN or healthcare provider about the risks of RSV. As a mother, I've seen a lot of warning labels, from choking hazards to baby toys, and I wish RSV came with one. To learn more, visit www.bewareofrsv.com. That's www.bewareofrsv.com. This message is brought to you by Pfizer.
What is dadication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. I'm not exactly certain how long this interview will go for. This has been a pattern for the last couple of weeks. Interviews I taped at CPAC in February 23rd of 2024. And right now is a man who has been with us like for every interview you would have heard. The Alan Nathan Show on the 23rd and the Silker Joe Show last weekend and the weekend before. March Chadwick, he is of CIASociety.org, and that stands for Constitutional Integrity Artist Society. And he has been drawing sketches of some of our guests. You might have seen him on our social media pages. So we're going to be sketching each other. A little sketchy operation going while we're doing the show here. So, Mark, happy to have you on the show. How are you today?
I'm good, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, you've been sitting with us. It's 3 o'clock now. He was in the booth when we got here at 10 in the morning. And he's been in and out this entire time as we've gone through 3-4 shows worth of material.
Well, it's a live event here in Washington. And I've heard some nice speeches briefly, just in and out of the main auditorium. But it's so nice hearing you. You're so thoughtful in your questions and your ability to listen. And I'm so impressed with you, the people I've met through you in the interviews that you've conducted today. They're all very meaningful, sincere people. And I'm so thankful to have contributed to your event, Joe.
That's been very high praise. I appreciate that. And, you know, you've been great sitting in on, too. You seem pretty knowledgeable about all this stuff as well. What's your background?
Well, I am an architect, originally from Knoxville, Tennessee. But I attended school in the University of Tennessee and then Georgia Institute of Technology. But I have had an office in New York City for 25 years. And I have designed skyscrapers, multifamily, townhouses, even a waste treatment facility that cycles all the wastewater out of Brooklyn and Queens. Columbia University has been a good client of mine through other architects I've worked for, and even my own practice. I designed, contributed to the building information model of the Columbia University Sports Center at Baker Field. It's a beautiful building. It's sort of the gateway to the athletic campus of Columbia University.
I think I just ruined your drawing of you here that I'm doing. You look almost Hispanic with a scraggly beard. I'm not used to
it. Well, you know, the beauty of it is you can't mess it up, man. It's really about just having fun and just meeting people.
Yeah.
So I bought a house in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and it's, you know, the center of my roots between Knoxville and Atlanta. So in one way I have done that is I went to a Bonnaroo concert a couple summers ago, and I started drawing people. Just because I wanted to get to know the people where I originated. So I guess in the sense of James Agee in the Let Us Now Praise Famous Men sort of genre, I've, you know, just started drawing people. I would trade for beers at Bonnaroo. And I got really good. And it was like a lot of fun. So I just found that. And I like when other people started drawing me. So so I drew a lot. I've got hundreds of books of just crazy portraits that are meaningless. So I figured, well, why don't I create a club of other people that like to draw? And maybe we can affect the way people think about each other. And just spending a few minutes with each other drawing and making fun of our own work and making, getting to know somebody is a fun way. So I have this ambition with the CIA Society to draw all of our politicians and create a movement of drawing, just getting to know the people that represent us or supposedly represent us, who we think. And so I like branding things, and my name is March, and I have a firm called March Architects. So I like the idea of taking the Constitution and making it very radical, like the arts, because most of the arts I observe in New York are not that radical. They seem to be very conditioned. They seem to be very role-played. I mean, they've already been enacted, and it's not appreciating the beauty of this country. They're actually mimicking a bubble world of satanic craziness. Like this woman, Abrina, what's her name? I can't even pronounce her name. It's just so disgusting. Abramovich or something like that. Just a horrible person. Have you ever seen her acts of, like, you know, rituals of, like, blood spitting? That's what's popular in New York.
Wow.
It's bizarre world. So I like the beauty. We have a beautiful country. And I think that the CIA Society, I have a business with it. We also have a nonprofit in Washington, D.C., that is, you know, engineered to train people into the figurative arts and the beauty of the figurative arts. And what I'd like to do is be a recruiting agency for artists all around the country. And I want to position them at political events. Well, not even political, but, you know, weddings and things like that. It's a fun thing to do. Kind of a, what do you call it, a prop or something like that.
Yeah.
Let's say you're running for Senate. Joe, you speak very well. You probably should run for Senate.
Thanks.
But let's say your partner here, remind me his name, Will?
William Hellman.
William Hellman. Let's say he's going to give you $20,000. He runs Georgia Pacific, right? So that $20,000 is a transaction that will be made at the political event. And you could hire an artist to do that. You can hire an artist to sketch you guys. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the artist would take 10% of that $20,000. And that's like, lawyers make $700 an hour. I make like $450 an hour. This artist would make $1,000 a minute. You understand?
Yeah.
It's kind of a fun project, and I want to ramp it up.
Yeah, and it's a pretty strong selling point too, because, you know, politicians, if they're trying to, especially if they have an image problem, they come off like, you know, Hillary Clinton, she's a terrible person or whatever, but even her own supporters are like, she is just too cold, mechanical, and, well, I'm not going to say what her husband has allegedly said about her, because that's not allowed on the air, I don't think, but like, just people like that who may have an image problem, you know, if you hire a sketch artist, you can do that. It makes you look a lot relatable, because
totally.
Who hasn't gone to the county fair or the carnival or theme park and seen the people around getting sketched or done it yourself?
Well, you know, the courts, they have sketch artists because it's about privacy. Today, the camera really alienates people. Everybody has a picture on their camera phone. There's too many pictures. We're saturated with photographs from cell phones, you know? But when you sit down and just get to know somebody for a few minutes, just drawing even a stick figure, you get to know them a little bit. And that's what I think we're missing in our society. So it's like a pause, kind of like the Trump not ceding the election, which was totally stolen. It's a pause. And I think all of us need to have a pause and just get to know each other. And that's what I want to promote with the CIA Society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, this program, you know, even though we hardcore conservative, election stolen, all that stuff, we still have Democrats on, especially when we agree with them, because there is stuff that we can agree on. There's common ground. It's not like all of them are the radical psychopaths in New York City looking at the Satan worshiping.
Well, look, I'm going a little crazy because there's a lot of stuff on the news that is in, I would say, alternative news.
Yeah.
That is true and some not true, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, we definitely need to find common ground. And I think arts is a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm. But we appreciate you being on, March Chadwick. Appreciate you being on the Silver Joe Show, Main Street Radio Network production, our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com. Because I really have no idea. I always say that at the beginning of the show. I have no idea if I will remember this week. Because, God, I forgot on the 23rd to say the intro to the Alan Show.
You know, I love that you're so animated, because I don't know what I'm doing either.
All right. Listeners, be safe.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.